Thank you, Matt, and the cast of characters up here, which I am the latest character to arrive. We've been studying from the book of Colossians, and we're going to continue our study there, but let's ask God to guide us. Father, this morning we come to you because we want to hear from you. We want your spirit to speak to us, touch our lives. We want to go from here changed and better prepared to serve you and to do what you would have us to do. And so, Lord, we ask that your spirit would work in our lives, transform us, change us, improve us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been reading out of Colossians, and this morning our scripture passage comes from Colossians chapter 2, and I can't read that fine print back there. I hope you folks can read the fine print behind me, okay? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, of which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm going to launch off of this because there's a question that I have. And the question is, how do we pray for our pastor? It says here to pray. And I'm going to launch off of that. Paul says, pray for us. And so I've got to keep track of what's going on behind me. Yeah, pray for us. And so a question I have is, how do you pray for the super apostle? Paul was kind of one of the most outstanding apostles, and yet he asked for prayer. How do you pray for that super apostle? And let's make it simpler. How do we pray for our pastor? Because many times we don't know how to do that. I want to tell you a story. Some of you may have heard this story before. You know, we preachers sometimes dig out the old stories. And when I was a kid growing up, I was in Alliance Church. And every Thursday night, we had prayer meeting. And at prayer meeting, while the young people would get together and the adults would get together, and we would hear a message from the pastor, a short message. And then we would have prayer requests, and then we would go pray. And there was, the children would go downstairs, and I would always end up going downstairs with the kids and the youth. And we had a young lady named Virginia in the group. Now, Virginia was a friend of mine. She still is, by the way, and she knows I tell this story on her. And Virginia, well, we live in Indiana, okay? That was Midwestern. My dad was a hog and corn farmer. We raised corn and soybeans on the farm. And if you drive down the road in Indiana, there's these 8-foot stalks of corn everywhere you go, and you can't see around the corners. They have to trim them back so you can see to drive around corners. And so it's a country of corn fields, just an area full of fields of corn. And I remember we passed out the prayer request, and it was Virginia's time to pray. Every week, Virginia would pray the same thing. Lord, bless the missionaries in the cornfields. Amen. And I don't know what Virginia was thinking. Okay, I have no idea. And I should ask her. I don't know what she's thinking, but she always prayed for the missionaries in the cornfields. You know, I'm not so sure that some of our prayers for the pastor aren't a little bit like that. You know, it's easy to fall into a routine, and I can fall into the same trap where we say, Lord, bless the pastor. Bless the pastor, Lord. What do we mean by that? How do we know if he does and if he doesn't? And how do we measure his blessing? So today we're going to spend some time talking about how to pray for your pastor. And I'm going to give you lots of suggestions and lots of ideas. I don't expect you to remember all of them. But there is a page in the back of your bulletin with lines on it where you can take notes. Okay? And for those of you who aren't good at taking notes, before I forget about it, on the sound booth in the back as you go out, don't go right now because I'm not going to follow the outline that's here. There is a 30-day challenge of praying for your pastor, with a different subject matter and a different way to pray each day for 30 days. So I want to make sure you know that's there. You can pick it up on the way out and kind of give you a tool that can help us improve our prayers for our pastor. One of the things about praying that is important, we say, Lord, bless the missionary or bless the pastor, is what do we expect? What do we expect to happen because we say, bless the pastor? If somebody's sick, we ask the Lord to heal them. What do we expect? We expect the Lord to do something, right, to their health. If we ask the Lord to provide for finishing off the parsonage, we kind of look for what God's going to do. We say, bless the missionary, bless the pastor, which we often do, I think, at least I do. If I get in a hurry, Lord, bless the pastor. But what do we want God to do with the pastor? Interestingly, one of the comments, verse 2, is devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And so we need to be thankful for what the pastor brings to us. And I get a great opportunity to speak about the pastor because he's not here to hear me, okay? I can say whatever I want. He's not going to sit back there and shake a finger at me, which he never would do. But how do we thank the Lord for what John is doing? What do we thank the Lord for? The messages that he gives, the ministry that he gives, the time that he puts in, the hours he puts in preparing his messages. We can thank the Lord that John does that and can do it. I want to read another passage of scripture to you this morning. And I want to take another circumstance and help us understand a little bit how we can be involved in prayer. If we look at Exodus chapter 17, we see a situation where Moses was fighting the Amalekites. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men, go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. I want to stop there for a moment, but I want you to envision that Moses, when there was a battle going on, your key leader wants to be where he can see what's going on all around him. So he goes to the top of the hill where he can watch. And he says, okay, to encourage his people, and because he's doing for what the Lord wants, he says, I'm going to take the staff of God. I want to hold it in my hands, and I'm going to stand there on the top of the hill. You guys go down there and risk your lives and go fight. I'm going to stand up here on top of the hill. And you know I'm with you. I got my hands up in the air. Okay? As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Pause again. What does that mean that the Amalekites are winning? The Israelites are dying. It isn't just that they're taking ground. The Israelites are dying. When Israel was winning, the Amalekites were dying. But when the Amalekites were winning, Israel was dying. And so it was a matter of life and death. And Moses just couldn't keep his hands up in the air. And Moses' hands grew tired. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Envision this with me. Moses is standing there. Now, I challenge people when I talk about this to raise your hands up in the air and hold them there till I finish the message. You won't be able to. You'll get tired. Your fingers will start getting cold, and your hands start coming down, and I just kind of shake it out. And I'm sure Moses had times when he dropped his arms and stretched his back and shook out his arm and put them back. Every time the arms come down, Israelites were dying. Okay, I want you to get that in your mind. Every time the arms come down, the Israelites are dying. So Moses is standing there, and it became very obvious, probably very soon, it became obvious that this wasn't going to work. There was a problem here. And so his two buddies, Aaron and Hur, got a boulder, I'm sure it wasn't a little stone, and he sat on it, and they stood beside him and held his arms up with the rod of God in his hands. So they were standing with their arms down, holding his arms up. up while he sat on that rock. It achieved the purpose, and Israel was winning the battle. But it's interesting, they support him. Nobody stepped back and said, I don't know what to think of this Moses. He just can't seem to do his job. Wonder where the pastor is. He just doesn't seem to be doing his job. He can't keep his hands up in the air. It's a simple task that he has to do. Why can't he keep it going? That's because God has planned that we as a church would help hold his hands up through prayer. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is how do you pray for your pastor? How do you hold his hands up so that God wins the battle against the enemy here in West Seattle? Pastors are human. Pastors grow tired. Pastors get confused. Some of us get older and weaker. We have to go out and do more streaming. Aaron and Hur did not complain, but they supported Moses. I want to give you some stats this morning. These are not good news. You know, there's good news and there's bad news. So I got some bad news. An organization called TriageCare.com cares for pastors and provides care for pastors. And pastors can go there and get help. They can go to conferences that they offer. They can go online, and I think they can even get personal counseling. But here's some statistics that these fellows have come up with. 70 to 75% of pastors are stressed out and burned out and regularly consider leaving the ministry. Mental breakdowns are 4% higher in clergy than in any secular occupation. 35 to 40% actually leave the ministry. 50% are discouraged and want to leave the ministry but have no other occupational options. 70% struggle with depression. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. 90% worked over 50 hours per week. 70% have no close friends. 75% experience emotional crisis during their ministry. 75% feel underpaid. 70% have low self-esteem. 50% will not last more than 5 years in ministry. I have a tricky podium here. It just keeps getting farther away from me. I guess it's for... 80% believe that ministry has had a negative effect on their family, and 40% reported extramarital affairs during ministry. Bad news. Bad news. Joy and I try to spend our time encouraging pastors and visiting pastors what we can. But here in our church, we have a pastor. And I don't know where he fits in the paradigm of any of these, but the numbers aren't in his favor. Okay? The numbers are not in his favor. And so I want to encourage you to make it a matter of prayer. We're going to give you a whole slug of ideas of how to pray for Pastor John and some things that you can do to encourage him and keep his ministry going and therefore hold his hands up. So number one, how to pray. Number one, pray he be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That he be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What is God saying to us? It's hard when you're a pastor to separate your will and your interest and your desires from what God wants in the church. So pray that he know God's will and that his messages be biblically centered and his message be Christ-centered and his messages be a source of guidance on how to live Scripture for us with practical application and clear understanding in all of life situations that he will refer to, that he will refer to God's instruction for us. In times of uncertainty, God's word is clear. We need a pastor who can tell us that. And John is that kind of a guy. But we need to pray for him that he continued doing that. We need to pray that the guidance we receive from him be the voice of God. And every Sunday when you come to church, you need to be praying that we're going to hear from God. That's not God standing here, but that God will speak through the pastor of our church. Secondly, we need to pray that he be filled with godly wisdom. It's important that he's learned valuable lessons in life and valuable lessons in ministry, and that he can share and share those with us. That his message be clear and from the heart. That he knows how to apply God's word in tough times and in tough situations. And he views life from God's perspective. Now, these are a whole bunch of suggestions. I mean, this list is going to go till you're going to fill your page if you're writing, okay? Pray that he can discern what God's will is and what God wants to accomplish through him and what he wants to accomplish through the church. We need to have God's will in all of that. How does God see our circumstances? Pray that the Holy Spirit control John's life and that he control our church and he continue to work through us. Pray that John be able to communicate clearly. You know, communication's a two-way street. Messages that come from God need to be empowered with prayer. John's prayers and our prayers. And how often do we pray on a Sunday morning or during the week? God, give John the message I need to hear Sunday. God, give John the message that our church needs to hear on Sunday. And God, send somebody to encourage him and help him get through the week. Message communication is a two-way street. It's what you, as a speaker, say, and it's what the other person hears. Now, maybe what you say is different from what they hear, but sometimes what you say, they hear, but their understanding is different. And then you have a breakdown in communication. And so pray that the word that God gives to John be very clear for all of us. And that our understanding be correct in interpreting that signal that comes to us. Pray that our pastor be full of vitality and energy to face daily challenges. Ministry can be tough. And ministry can be very tiring. And after a time of ministry, there's times when we come back and crash. And you read in the scripture, Elijah was beat. I mean, he watched the fire come down and destroy the offering that he put out. And then he was beat, and he went away, and he hid, and he rested. And it was emotionally exhausting for him. And it's very emotionally exhausting. On a Monday, a pastor is not in great shape, okay? That's a pastor's day off because he has to recuperate. John takes part of Monday off to recuperate. When Sunday afternoon's over and you've preached a Sunday morning service, they say you've done a whole day's work. I don't know if that's really true or not, but you're tired when it's over and you're exhausted. And so a pastor, when he's preaching and preparing his message as part of it, delivering it takes a lot of energy and strength. So pray that he be full of energy and life. That God will energize him. When we were on the mission field, there's a passage of scripture that kept coming to me. Don't be weary in well-doing. I said, man, we're working our tails off. How come I'm tired? Okay. Why am I so tired if I'm getting weary in well-doing? And a pastor's asked that question. Why am I so tired doing God's will? Why is that yoke that's supposed to be so easy feel so heavy and so tiring? If you've ever done any personal counseling, you sit down with a person and you begin to ask some questions and you begin to talk to them and say, what's going on? And they begin to tell you, and when they're done, you're exhausted because you've been identifying with them and you're involved in ministry. Spiritual ministry is physically exhausting. So pray for the strength and energy and vitality of our pastor. Pray that God will give him strength to endure the stress that ministry brings. Some people think just, well, he just gives up on Sunday. You know, it's great to be a preacher. I had a pastor tell me this one day. It's great to be a preacher because you only have to work on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, you don't have to do anything. I looked at the fellow and I said, what? I guess I'm in a different school, in a different area, a different way of doing things. But ministry was never really super easy or soft. Ministry was tiring. So pray that God give him the strength to handle the stress that he has to deal with. He takes on the stress of his parishioners. A pastor takes on the concerns and worries of his congregation. And all of those things are very exhausting and very tiring. And there's nights that he cannot sleep because he's praying for you. So remember to pray that God would give him energy and make him full of life. Pray that he has self-control in many areas of his life, in most areas of his life. Number one, there are several things I want to talk about here. One is his relationship with Christ. You never stop and think about this, but we need to be praying that he have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't just that he's doing his job. He's not just preparing a message. He's not coming into the office every week. He's not going to visit people. He's not counseling. He's maintaining a strong relationship with Christ. And he lives a holy life, that he carries and has a holy vocabulary. It doesn't mean that he sounds like a priest, okay? But his vocabulary is wrapped around Christ and God and what God is doing in his life. He needs to have time to do diet and exercise and do those kind of things that most people do in their lives. Many pastors, and the reason they get in the condition they're in, is they forget a Sabbath day rest because they're working on Sunday. So many pastors don't have a Sabbath day rest, and without that Sabbath day rest, you do wear out. When we were on the mission field, the Alliance had a policy that our vacation time was a month. We got a full month vacation. We first arrived on the mission field, you get a month's vacation. And then one of our senior missionaries looks at us and he says, but I don't know anybody that does it. Hint, 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 hint. It takes, as a pastor, at least a week, at least that's my experience, to rest up when you go on vacation. It takes a week at least to rest up. And the second week, then I started getting ideas for ministry. And I started getting new ideas of what God wanted to do. And so it always took that long. And if you got a month's vacation, then you can build up your body. You can build up your emotions. You can spend time reading. You can spend time doing things you like to do and build up your energy. Pray for your pastor that he not fall into temptation. We keep hearing stories, and I've got many friends who've fallen into temptations that have ruined their ministry forever. Okay, pray for your pastor that he not be tempted and he not fall into these temptations. Now, that sounds crazy. I'm not talking about anything in specific in the sense that I know something about our pastor that you don't. But I do know that men are tempted. And women come in with their problems and their concerns, and they cry on his shoulder, and they need a hug. And next thing you know, it becomes more than a hug. Pray for your pastor that he not be tempted in these kind of things. We've heard a lot of stories lately in the politics of people that we thought were important people who have fallen into or been accused of things. Pray that he not be falsely accused. If he's falsely accused, his ministry is done. Okay, if he's accused and he was guilty, his ministry is done. And so pray that he not fall into these temptations. There are several temptations that affect a pastor, but there's three main ones. First one's power. A pastor has a lot of power and a lot of authority to tell people what they should do and what they shouldn't do and how the church should be run and planning budgets and all those kind of things. It's tremendous power. And it's very easy for that power to become my power, not what God wants to do through me. And so we need to be praying that power not become a key element in a pastor's life and bring him down. Money. Financial needs of a pastor many times are far greater because sometimes the pastor's salaries aren't that great. And so money's an issue. And it can become a real marriage problem. It can become a real situation in the home. But it's, embezzlement's not strange either. Okay? Embezzling church funds isn't strange. And I, again, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm not putting any ideas in anybody's mind. Just knowing this is reality. And we used to struggle with this on the mission field with certain, so, well, the pastor ran away with the treasury. Wow. That really seriously hurts God's work. And you know, more than anything else, the testimony of that causes incredible damage in the congregation, causes incredible damage in that man's life, and causes incredible damage to a church. The third one is sex. Three areas: power, money, and sex. They're the three toughest areas. You need to be praying about those three areas, about your pastor. Several churches recently, I've heard stories, big churches, famous men, who are now out of the ministry, and their church is crumbling, or has crumbled. We know stories not only locally, but we know lots of stories internationally of things like this that have happened. And we've watched people, how many people we know who are on the fringe, and said, if that is the kind of people those Christian pastors are, we don't want anything to do with that church or those people or with God. We're going to stay on our own. And we saw that so often in Latin America when different people fell in ministry, how hard the impact was on the church. The impact on non-believers is unreal. Got lots of notes yet? I got 12 more pages, folks, just in case. Pray for your pastor's marriage and family. If there's ever a difficulty or a challenge in the home, the pastor's arms are down. And we need to hold them up through prayer. You need to pray for the strength of your pastor's family and your pastor's marriage. Now, again, the hours a pastor works, the kind of work that he does, can mean that he may not give all the time he needs to his family. And many times churches expect the family to be in second place. While the pastor does his work, the church should be first. And when they do that, it affects the family. We have friends whose children have run away, disappeared, join a cult, because they were unhappy with being in church. They were unhappy with what was happening with their dad, unhappy with the family, and the situation at home was not good. And we've had, I can't count the number of friends in ministry we've known whose children have abandoned the faith because of circumstances in the home. Pray for our children, as those of us who are in ministry, pray for our kids. Pray that they become Christians at an early age. Pray that they follow Christ all of their life, that they're discipled, they follow through. And pray that they might even go into ministry. You know, no greater joy for a pastor than to know that his son or daughter is involved in ministry, because God has called them and some kind of life experience that he gave his kids is paying off. Pray that he be have a strong marriage. It would be an example for the church. That husband and wife will be faithful to each other and they know how to speak to each other. That their children do well in school. It's not easy being a pastor's kid. They call them PKs. It's not easy being a missionary's kid. They call them MKs. Now they're called third culture kids. But MKs and pastor's kids, it's not always easy. You know, they've got to live up to dad's expectations, and they got to live up to what they think dad wants, and they got to live up to what they think the church wants, and so they don't have a life of their own. And sometimes they become resentful, and sometimes they become very frustrated and very confused. So pray for our children, because they are being observed, and they know it. Pray for the pastor's children. 94% of pastor's children feel pressure due to being in a pastor's family. 80% report that ministry had a negative effect on them. 80% of adult pastors' kids felt that being that ministry had a negative effect on them. Wow. Pray for the pastor's children. Pray that your pastor stay healthy. You know, John has some stomach troubles. We don't really know what it all is, but a banana seems to fix it, you know. So if you, I think every Sunday we need to have a banana offering. We all bring in bananas. The offering plate goes around. We dump them. Fill the offering basket with bananas. Pray for your pastor that he be healthy and that he stay healthy. You know, we have a thing with missionaries and with people and with friends. We really pray with them when they get pray for them when they get sick. We don't pray that they stay well. And we need to pray that when you get a cold, you get the sniffles, you get the flu, pray that your pastor does not. Okay? Let that be a little cue for you and advice when to do it is to pray that he does not come down with whatever you happen to have. Because when a pastor's sick, his arms are down, and the Amalekites are winning. When a pastor's arms are down, when he's sick, the Amalekites are winning. So pray that he stays healthy. Pray for his spiritual welfare. You don't often think about this, do you? Pray for a pastor's spiritual welfare, that he have a good devotional life. Not study the Bible for a message, but that he have a good devotional life. Ministry can be busy, and you get busy doing more than being in a relationship with Christ. And he needs to be growing in his relationship with Christ. And we need to be able to see how God is developing his life and how God is growing him. It's important that his prayers and Bible study be more than professional, that they be personal as well. Now, this one may be one that may sound a little strange to you, but pray for your pastor's safety. Okay, pray for your pastor's safety. People are injured in automobile accidents all the time. Your pastor does travel a lot. If he's injured playing basketball, his arms are down. Okay? We know he likes to play basketball, but if a pastor is injured in any way, his arms are down. So pray for his safety. I want to tell you a story. This is my closing story. I don't know what time it is. I'm supposed to be done early, and I'm afraid I'm going to go too long. I don't think I am. That turkey smell is just overwhelming. I want to tell you a story. How many of you know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon was? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Good. See a few hands out there. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist minister evangelist in England in the 1800s. He pastored a Baptist church in England that he started pastoring. You ready, folks? He started preaching when he was 19. A lot of famous great preachers started when they were very young. Folks, we've got to get these young people in our church going. I'm thrilled to see a guy on a keyboard. We've got to get our young people going, doing things, okay? Giving them opportunities to serve so they can learn to serve, not wait till they've gone to college and become professional. They need to have an opportunity to serve, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon got the chance to preach when he was 19. He became such a well-known speaker, and people loved him, that there were times when he had 10,000 people in his church building listening to him. He was a great speaker. He wrote like 40-some books, if I remember right, 49 volumes of commentaries. He preached over 3,600 sermons, and sometimes his crowd was larger than that. 10,000 people. Wow. I mean, not too many churches around that the pastor gets that crowd like that when he preaches. Charles Spurgeon was giving a tour through the church building one day, and obviously, you know, it's a good-sized building, and he was showing this guy through the building. They went through the building. As they went through the building, he went downstairs into the other rooms, and the pastor says to the guy, he says, "You want to know where the power of our church is?" What makes all the difference of our church is this room right here, where there's over 100 people every Sunday morning down here praying for me as I preach. Wow. What would happen if we had a prayer team that spent time during the church service praying for our congregation and for the pastor in the Sunday morning service? Wow. The opportunities of us serving the pastor through our prayers are very great and very important and very valuable. I'm going to close here with prayer in just a moment. Remind you, don't forget to pick up on the way out a prayer challenge, 30 days of praying for your pastor. And if you don't have enough to pray for, read it over again. I think God's called us as a church to support our pastor and pray for him and keep, his name's not Moses, keep John's arms up in the air, okay, so that he can minister what God wants him to do and he can say what God wants him to say and he can be the man God wants him to be and lead our church where God wants to take him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a leader and now it is our role to hold his arms up. It's our role to give him, Lord, the power that he needs through our prayers and through our support. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would undertake in a special way for us to remember to do that and cause us to be that kind of person, to cause us to be that kind of support to the ministry here. In Jesus' name, amen.